National School Choice Week is underway in Wisconsin and across the country, with thousands of events planned to draw attention to educational options. School choice, it's a big deal in Wisconsin. Milwaukee has the nation's longest-running publicly funded voucher program. We're having a conversation about school choice this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Jim Bender is president of School Choice Wisconsin. That's an advocacy group based in Brookfield. Jim, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, the Trump administration has made school choice vouchers, in particular, a cornerstone of its education agenda, and this has generated a lot of interest in how voucher programs work across the country and who they benefit. For starters, what does school choice mean to Americans and who benefits?
So I think in all corners of the country that now are experiencing school choice programs, whether that be public school choice, charter schools, you've got virtual schools, you've got private school voucher programs, you've got tax credit scholarships. What started in Milwaukee in 1990 has now spread literally across the country, and there are hundreds of thousands of students that are now participating in school choice. So it looks different everywhere. And this week for National School Choice Week, like you had mentioned, there are different events all over the country, and they just look different everywhere because these programs are, for the most part, all state-based programs. Even though the Trump administration has been promotive of school choice, they aren't really doing it from a federal level. The recent tax bill that passed did include some flexibility for 529 accounts, which are accounts that you could set aside money tax-free for college. You can now do that for K through 12 school as well. But because these are state-based programs, the federal government doesn't really play much of a role at all. And in particular, in Wisconsin's programs, it is entirely a state-based and state-funded program. So School Choice Week is, what it says. It gives opportunities to parents, and those are unique in all the states that have programs.
We'll get to the 529 college savings plan and what that means to school choice in just a moment. But let's start out by looking at Wisconsin. What is the status of school choice in Wisconsin? What are the different options that exist?
So the status is that school choice is rapidly expanding. For the first 25 years or so, all there was a program based within the school district of Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. That was the program that started with a combination of folks coming from Polly Williams to Howard Fuller to Tommy Thompson, my predecessor at School Choice Wisconsin, Susan Mitchell, through a confluence of events, started the first program, and then eventually it started with secular schools and then eventually brought on religious schools. When Governor Walker was elected in 2010, that brought on the first of the expansions of the program. So first we went to the Racine Parental Choice Program. In 2011 is when that program got initiated. Then in 2013, we went to a statewide program, the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program, which now covers the geography of the entire state. And then in the last budget, we started the Special Needs Scholarship Program, which is also a statewide program. So there are currently four parental choice programs in Wisconsin. There's a little over 30,000 students in them, almost 33,000 now. You've got about 28,000 in Milwaukee, 2,000 in Racine, and now we're getting up near 4,000 in the statewide program. So you've got about 33,000, 34,000 students attending private school on a voucher funded by the state. And you've also got truly independent charter schools, which really only exist in southeastern Wisconsin, and you've got about 10,000 students in those schools as well. But still the largest school choice program in Wisconsin is still public school open enrollment. That's where a student in one public school district actually transfers and attends public school in the neighboring district. And there's more than 50,000 students that take part in that program.
Last school year, the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program issued nearly 28,000 vouchers for low-income kids to attend dozens of private and religious schools. Over the years, though, most voucher recipients have performed no better academically than their public school peers. What do you make of this, and who is benefiting?
Well, I make of that a very loaded question, because the data just doesn't support that question at all. In fact, every empirical study has shown, while the test scores have been slightly better for students in the voucher program, although the latest round of both test scores and report cards show remarkable growth in the private schools, the college acceptance and college retention rates for those getting through the voucher program have been markedly better. So the old canard that they don't do any better is just not factually true. There have been some instances and some small cases in Milwaukee where the test scores were about equal. But in both Milwaukee and now countrywide, anytime a gold standard has been applied to the academic performance of the schools, you'll see not just higher growth, but higher proficiency scores as well. In fact, in the last round of the state scores here in Wisconsin, the Milwaukee program and the Racine program and the Wisconsin program, when you look at the test scores side by side, not only did the students on a voucher exceed the performance of their low-income peers, but the students in the voucher program exceeded even their full-income counterparts in public school. So across the board, there were higher scores in the voucher program. Specifically in Milwaukee, there were only 11 schools that were given the highest rating on the statewide report card. Exceeds expectations. And in Milwaukee, of those 11 schools, out of the roughly 300 schools in Milwaukee, of those 11 top-ranked schools, six of them were in the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. Three of them were schools that were independent charter schools. So when you look at the top tier of academic performance in Milwaukee, it is almost exclusively education reform schools that are achieving that highest mark.
Jim Bender is with us. He's president of School Choice Wisconsin. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about school choice? What questions do you have about Wisconsin's approach to school choice and vouchers? Join in the conversation or email ideas at WPR.org. Jim, some critics have said that vouchers are a way for private religious schools in particular to stay out of the red, to improve their school finances. In light of private school tuition costs, do you see anything in that argument?
I see a state of Wisconsin, much like every other state, where every taxpayer, through property taxes, through sales taxes, through income taxes, are paying into a system where the legislature has deemed it perfectly appropriate that dollars that we are all paying into the system can be utilized first and foremost, just as the Supreme Court found here in Wisconsin, that the vast majority of those dollars will go into the traditional public school system. But that, on top of that, parents and families are given options to attend school, to utilize those same tax dollars to educate their children in private schools and virtual schools and charter schools. The Supreme Court, I know you'll have a guest on later that'll oppose any religious affiliation here with public dollars, but the Supreme Court found it perfectly acceptable that there be not just only secular, but also religious schools that are publicly funded. The students are publicly funded up and above that of the traditional role of the public school system. So like every other aspect of life, we are given options, not just in any product that we buy or service that we get, but even within education, higher education and now K-12 education, parents are given options to find the best opportunity for their child to exceed. That's what's happening in Wisconsin. The schools are wildly popular. The programs themselves have grown every year since their inception. Most schools in the programs, especially the high-performing schools, all have waiting lists to get in. So there is one thing that gets lost in the argument all the time is these programs are exceedingly popular.
School choice tends to be a very divisive, hot-buttony political issue. Why do you think that is?
It has nothing to do with whether it's good for students. It has everything to do with whether it's good for a traditional system that is used to not having competition. I mean, I saw a quote the other day, it's not about the students, it's about adult paychecks. These are adult arguments that we're having. These aren't about the outcomes of students or what's better for students, what's better for college acceptance, what's better for academic performance. Those items get left by the wayside. These are arguments because the traditional school system has had a monopoly on the base funding. The teachers' unions are very strong politically, not as strong here in Wisconsin as they used to be, but in many other states, they're very strong politically. So these are adult political arguments that we have over funding and other items. It's not over what's best for the students, because if we're looking at what's best for the parents, what's best for the students and parents are going to have a role and have a voice in that educational system, which they do now with school choice.
Jim Bender is with us. He's president of School Choice Wisconsin. We're talking about National School Choice Week, highlighting and advocating for school choice in all of its forms. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. How do you feel about school choice? Join in the conversation or email ideas at WPR.org. Back after this news. The school search process is unique for every family. Some parents are looking at smaller class sizes, while others seek certain instructional styles or specific career and technical offerings, maybe a specific theme like music or language. We're exploring school choice and what it means this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. School Choice Wisconsin President Jim Bender stays with us. His advocacy organization is based in Brookfield. Your thoughts are welcome on school choice at 800-642-1234. What research did you do in choosing a school for your child? What factors were in play? What's your take on school choice? Join in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Sean now, who joins us from Wauwatosa. Hi, Sean.
Hi, guys. How are you on this snowy Tuesday?
Doing well.
Way to make it into work.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
So the first thing I'd encourage listeners to do is to Google voucher school results. And just one of the things that Mr. Bender had said was that across the board, that there are better results in voucher schools, and it's just not true. And if you just take 30 seconds to Google that, you'll find lots and lots of studies that show the opposite. But the question I've got for Mr. Bender would be, there's a bill that's being discussed by folks in relation to taxpayer transparency as it relates to voucher schools. I know as it relates to voucher schools, can seem a little bit like free candy, in that there's no cost, it's just letting people choose, but in reality that there are costs.
Well, Sean, thank you so much, and let's let Jim Bender talk about the Wisconsin Voucher Taxpayer Transparency Bill. This bill was authored by State Representative Dana Walks. Jim Bender, go ahead.
Well, we don't support that particular bill at this point because it's incomplete. So what they're talking about here is a bill that would, I believe, on your property tax bill for a local school district. This is a complicated topic with school funding, but basically what it does is, in the statewide program, you have a local school district. The funding is bank-shotted through the local school district, meaning they count the student on their headcount. It generates state aid for the local district, and then the local district has money withheld by the state to pay the voucher. Now, in that process, there are two parts to the revenue limit. There's state aid and property taxes. And so as the state aid and the property taxes flow, there is a property tax burden for the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program on each individual district. What the proposal does, however, is it only lists the direct impact of the voucher program, and it makes no context or comparative nature between the public school funding and the funding for the voucher. Every student that's on a voucher in the state of Wisconsin right now has a lower property tax impact per year than their public school counterpart, and this provision doesn't list that. Over the 12 years, if there is a student entering the public school district now or entering the school system on a voucher, over that time, the property tax burden for a student on a voucher is significantly less than a student that would be on a than in traditional public school system. And the current proposal doesn't make any of that contextual data available. So normally when you see things like this, you don't list that type of detailed information on a property tax bill. That should be part of the public school district's budget. That's where you need to lay out that information in a very complex and comprehensive way so people can understand what the funding actually does. To list it on a property tax bill is likely not a provision that's going to make it very far because it's too complex an issue to just list as an individual line item on a property tax bill.
Sean, thanks so much for the question. Let's go to Jim now in Janesville. Jim, go ahead.
I am totally against the charter schools. For one thing, the teachers are not certified. And another thing, they're pulling money away from the public schools. I think you should get somebody with an opposing view on your radio program.
Jim, we will be getting that viewpoint. But let's talk for a moment, Jim Bender, about the qualifications of teachers and the certifications. Is there latitude in school choice in some programs where the teacher doesn't have to have a specific educational background?
No, there are requirements on the parental choice program that range from teacher qualifications to audits of every dollar that's going in to training of all the staff to be compliant with the programs that are administered by the Department of Public Instruction. But on any case, those are all quote-unquote inputs. The days of measuring education by what your staff resumes look like, those are days of the past. Wisconsin has moved to a statewide report card system where we measure student outcomes because that's what's important. How are the students doing? How are the taxpayers getting their investment back by investing dollars into those students? It's not about investing money into a system. It's about improving children's education, which is why the statewide report card is such a valuable tool because it shows what schools are performing, what schools are not. And we're measuring what's happening with academic performance. We're not talking about using a measuring stick on years of experience in a classroom. It's what's happening in that classroom. How well are their students learning? It's outputs. It's not inputs.
Jim Bender, Texas Senator Ted Cruz championed a provision in the tax code rewrite to allow 529 college savings plans to be used for paying private school tuition at K-12 schools. Up to $10,000. How does that impact school choice in your mind?
In Wisconsin, probably not all that much because we have such a vibrant voucher program here and independent charter schools. The voucher program is limited by income. So the wealthy in Wisconsin are not able to get a voucher to send their students to school. They would now, under some circumstances, be able to get there is already a state provision that allows some of the tuition to be tax deductible. This 529 would allow a little bit more flexibility with that. But as far as, you know, the voucher programs, the parental choice programs in Wisconsin, it won't really have an impact. I think in the few states that are left that don't have any sort of school choice program, it'll have more of an impact because it's an opportunity for students to have and families to have flexibility that doesn't currently exist. But in the states that currently have school choice programs, it probably won't have a major impact on the education landscape.
Let's go to Heather now, who joins us from Madison. Hi, Heather.
Good morning. I am calling. I actually had two children go through parochial school, grade school. Our choice was faith and values-based. Despite the fact that we live in an area that actually has stellar schools, my concern is to kind of tie it to Jim's and the previous callers. Not that we necessarily need to stand up the system that we have now. You're right; we need to get the getting great outcomes for our students. But are we sure we're doing this in a way that isn't at a detriment to those who can't afford to ship their kids to a different place in town for school? Or I know the voucher system and such is there, but are we really sure that everybody's getting the education that they need?
Heather, thanks so much for the question. how about the people who don't have the ability to transfer their children, and what about the costs associated with it? Jim Bender?
Well, simply, the cost to educate a child in the voucher program is less than that in the public school system. So if we're getting better results at lower cost, from a taxpayer perspective, that's a perfectly smart investment to make in a child's future. But if we look at the current state of education in the state of Wisconsin, we have the largest racial learning gap in the country, meaning our children of color do worse as a comparative to the white students than anywhere else in the country. In Madison right now, you've got literally a 50% graduation rate for students of color in the traditional public school system. So to sit back, and we've had that now for decades, and nothing's being done about it in any sort of dramatic fashion inside the traditional system. So to sit back and say, well, you know, we really shouldn't be considering any options because we're not, you know, we're not sure that we need to give parents the ability to find a better setting for their students. When we look simply in Madison at a 50% graduation rate, how can we sit back and do nothing? And so there's just not a situation that exists in the state of Wisconsin where perfect is an option under any scenario. It just isn't, which is why the options that are afforded parents and the empowerment of parents in the decisions about their educational settings. And yes, some students and some families have more options than others. That's true. Milwaukee is flush with options. Madison, those options are coming online. The rest of the state, those options are coming online. But over time, the philosophy of empowering parents in education is going to result in higher outcomes, a better investment of taxpayer dollars, and a better educational landscape to give higher quality solutions to families.
Jim, as we wrap up, what do you think the nation could take away from Wisconsin's approach to school choice?
Wisconsin has been certainly a focal point of much of the research and much of the programs that have started after they have looked at Wisconsin. And certainly we have made changes to the program to try to make it better, to try to improve the quality. But I think the transparency that we have in Wisconsin is probably the hallmark right now. We are the only state in the nation that has a statewide report card measuring the exact same data points across all sectors, private, public, virtual, charter, you name it. All publicly funded students are measured the same way with the statewide report card. That's critically important for policymakers, for parents especially, to be able to have the data in front of them. That, I think, is the biggest takeaway. Give parents the data, let them make the right choice, give them the ability to research for a place to put their students and their children in the perfect setting that's going to give them the best opportunity to succeed.
Jim, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jim Bender is president of School Choice Wisconsin. That's an advocacy group based in Brookfield. Now we'll continue our conversation on school choice and what it means here in Wisconsin and across the nation. Maggie Garrett is legislative director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. That's a national religious liberty watchdog group that's based in Washington. Maggie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
What is your primary concern with incorporating school choice initiatives in education systems across the country?
So let me start with saying that we do not oppose public school choice like magnet schools or charter schools. Our concern is really about private school vouchers. Because private school vouchers don't come with a lot of the protections, whether it's constitutional protections or civil rights protections, that the public options provide. So essentially, School Choice Week isn't really a push for those public school options. It's really a push for private school vouchers. And we see private school vouchers as essentially funneling public dollars away from our public schools that serve all of our students, and in fact, public schools serve 90% of the kids in this country, to instead give vouchers to private schools that lack the accountability, that lack, they don't have to take all students, they don't have to abide by all the civil rights protections that our public schools do. And so we see that as harming public schools and really not providing the choice for parents that school choice advocates claim it does.
The oldest school voucher program was created in Milwaukee in 1990 with a very clear focus on African-American students living in poverty. Last school year, the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program issued nearly 28,000 vouchers for low-income kids to attend dozens of private and religious schools. What can we learn from the Milwaukee model?
So I think it's actually interesting to look at some of the promises that have been made, and then you know, what actually really happened in the voucher program.
Maggie, you're breaking up a little bit. Yeah, we're barely able to hear you here. Let's okay.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, go ahead now. Yeah, that's better.
So I think one of the problems is you know, the promises that are made with vouchers, and a lot of them really aren't met. Like, if you look at actual studies of the Milwaukee program for academic achievement, they're not doing any better than the kids in the public schools. If you look at voucher programs around the country, the same thing is shown. In D.C., they are not doing better. And in fact, in some places like Louisiana and Ohio and in D.C., some of the kids are actually performing worse than they're performing in the public school system. And so, you know, Milwaukee is the same. It's all of this money taken out of the public school system for programs that serve everyone when there's really no improvement like they're promising.
Let's go to Jim now, who joins us with a question from Appleton. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I coordinate a school advocacy group in the Fox Cities, and we track spending and results for school voucher programs, both in our area and statewide. And we've calculated that the state has now spent $2.3 billion, that's with a B, $2.3 billion on the Milwaukee, Racine, and statewide expansions since things began in Milwaukee. So it's hugely expensive, and we still have no solid evidence of improvement. In spite of what Mr. Bender said earlier, I've had email exchanges with him in which I've pointed out that the study he quotes in Wisconsin compares kids with disabilities with kids that do not have disabilities. So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. And nationally, we do have solid evidence now that kids with vouchers do not do better, and in many cases, they're doing worse.
Jim, thanks for your observations. Maggie, is Jim seeing something that is consistent around the country?
Yes. There have been multiple studies that came out in 2017 showing that vouchers are just not meeting their promise, right? Kids aren't doing any better. Kids are going to schools that are not accredited in certain areas. There's a story in Florida, a very sad story, about a kid who took a voucher, went to a high school, graduated, only to find out that the school was never even accredited until he couldn't get into college. These are the kinds of schools that many of these kids are going to. They don't have as many resources as the public school. Sometimes teachers don't have to have bachelor's degrees. A big problem is, as he was saying, kids with disabilities. There are federal laws that protect kids with disabilities at public schools in this country. Voucher programs don't abide by those rules. And so when you have the promise of vouchers, what happens is kids with disabilities often either are not admitted or show up and find out that they're not getting the services that they need because private schools just simply don't have to provide them.
U.S. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas last week at the National School Choice Rally on Capitol Hill, he talked about an issue that he championed in the tax code overhaul. That's an expansion of 529 savings plans to now cover private K-12 tuition. We're talking about school choice this hour. Maggie Garrett is with us right now. She's legislative director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. That's a national religious liberty watchdog group. Your questions are welcome, 800-642-1234. What's your take on school choice? Is this a good thing for the state, or would you do away with it? Join in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back after a news update. Thank you. This year marks the first time that a sitting U.S. Secretary of Education spoke at the annual National School Choice Week rally on Capitol Hill last week. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos urged people to advocate for school choice. Here she is speaking in November at the National Summit on Education Reform.
Millions of kids today, right now, are trapped in schools that are failing them. Millions more are stuck in schools that are not meeting their individual needs. And their parents have no options, no choices, no way out. Nearly 30 kids have dropped out of school while I've been talking. That's nearly 1,500 students a day.
That's an excerpt from a recent speech by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, who went on to say that 521,000 students dropped out in 2017. We're talking about school choice this hour. We're having trouble with the phone line with Maggie Garrett, who is legislative director at Americans United for Separation of Church and State. You can weigh in on school choice at 800-642-1234. You can join the conversation. What does school choice mean to you? Have vouchers become politicized? And how has that impacted you? Parents, what kind of school do your children attend? What's your experience? What's your take on school choice? Is this a good thing for the state, or would you do away with it? And why? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Troy now, who joins us from Milwaukee. Hi, Troy.
Hello. I'm actually an educator at one of the previous guests mentioned one of the top 11 schools, one of the charter schools. And I just want to say that one thing that should really be talked about, and especially if this next guest is a part of a watchdog group, is the big motivator and why you notice a lot of Republicans and a lot of the Trump administration is leaning this direction with choice schools is there's hedge funds that are created around in the private sector. So there's usually a board, and there's these hedge funds that are created. So as much as they like to say that they're, you know, they're putting the kids first, yeah, there are some good schools that, you know, good high-performing schools that are doing sometimes a better job than public schools. But those practices should be brought into public schools instead of keeping them separated. And the reason why they keep them separated is because, you know, these hedge funds are making money, and I believe to a certain extent exploiting minorities with these hedge funds for these schools.
And before you get to your second point, I'm wondering a little bit more about where you work, about your school. How do you see it succeeding? What is its secret sauce?
Well, I think it's whatever the best the more contemporary practices for teaching are. And I think that comes down to having really good teachers that are using practices that are, you know, in tune with the times and what's going on. I know a lot of you go out to the East Coast. There's a lot of things where charter schools originated from, and there's a lot of reasons why charter schools came out. And a big part of that was because of No Child Left Behind, and there was some schools. Kids were falling through the cracks. So you had a lot of schools that were trying to figure out ways to go outside the box to make sure that these kids succeed. But in doing so, it became a privatized thing, and becoming a privatized thing meant opportunity for hedge funds to be created and to make profit. And that's the reality that's going on right now in Milwaukee.
Maggie Garrett, do you want to reflect here on what Troy is saying?
I just chimed in, so I missed the beginning of it.
And Troy, go ahead again. I cut you off on your second point, Troy.
The second point is that in the state of Wisconsin, teachers' pensions, a lot of the choice schools or the privatized schools, they don't have to pay into the pension, and the state doesn't have to match it. So that's why our governors really and the Republicans are really big on charter and private, because it cuts into education and it saves the state money on having to pay into teachers' pensions. That's another big reason why they lean more that direction. So the big one is hedge funds, and the second one is hedge funds that are created by corporations to invest in schools. And the other thing is a lot of these hedge funds are actually got ties in with retirement plans that come into schools and offer it to the teachers. So they're also making money off the teachers' retirement by eliminating the state pension. So that's another thing.
Troy, thanks for the call. Maggie, your thoughts?
So I think that he's actually putting on a really important point, which is that there are attempts to compare public and private schools and to say things like private schools are cheaper private schools are having other things that are like better, but you can't compare them to public schools because they have different rules. So teacher quality in the public schools is different. Their wages are going to be different. Kids in who go to public schools, if they have a disability, the public school has to take care of it. In a private school, that doesn't happen. And that means that it's more expensive to educate students in that public school. And so when I try to make these comparisons about how private school is cheaper, it really doesn't work that way. Another factor that I think is important to understand is that most of the money is going to private religious schools. Private religious schools are often subsidized by the church. They often don't have the same rules about hiring. They can discriminate in hiring on the basis of religion or many other qualities when they're hiring for a private school. And therefore, they don't have the expenses that a public school is going to have. And one other thing is to sort of think about the expenses. Public schools might have a couple of kids that come out of them to go to a voucher program. When those couple of kids come out, they still have to pay the same amount of money to heat the school, the same amount of money for that school classroom, because it's just losing one kid. And so the money is being taken out of the public school, but they still have those very same expenses. And so I think that's really important when you think about how it's draining money out of the public school system to just educate a few students, really what effect that does have.
Let's go to Ronald now. Ronald, go ahead.
Hi, am I on?
Yeah, you're on, Ronald.
Hey, yeah, I just want to say, you know, the whole thing about, you know, letting minority kids go to private schools and stuff and voucher program, I'm totally against that. You know, I think we need to keep minority children in the failed public schools. That way we can control them better by keeping them less educated. You know what I'm saying?
Ronald, thanks for the call. But school choice advocates say children from all backgrounds deserve opportunities to succeed. They say voucher programs can help achieve that for students from less advantaged families. Maggie, what is your response to that?
So I'm going to just guess that he was being sarcastic in that comment. I do just want to point out, though, that actually, vouchers in certain studies have shown that they actually add to segregation rather than ending it. So that's a problem. But in addition, kids, again, who go to public school or to private schools with vouchers lose a lot of their civil rights protections. And I think that they can be particularly meaningful to minority students, in the public school. So there's no due process to get kicked out of a private school. There are civil rights protecting against discrimination based on race, disability, all different things. Those many schools do not apply them in the private school system. And that has been an issue in Wisconsin in particular, where the federal government came in and said, you know, the state isn't enforcing these civil rights protections in their private schools. And the state responded by saying, well, they're not getting federal money, they're getting state money, and therefore they don't have to adhere to any of these civil rights protections that people have fought for over the years to protect our students. And that's where it stands now.
Maggie, Betsy DeVos, the education secretary, and you weren't able to hear this clip. It's when we lost you on the phone line. I want to play it for you. She said over her term as education secretary, 2 million kids will drop out of school. Let's take a listen.
Millions of kids today, right now, are trapped in schools that are failing them. Millions more are stuck in schools that are not meeting their individual needs. And their parents have no options, no choices, no way out. Nearly 30 kids have dropped out of school while I've been talking. That's nearly 1,500 students a day.
How would you respond to her when 521,000 students dropped out last year?
I would say that private school vouchers are not solving that problem. If you see problems in public education, if you can identify problems, private school vouchers aren't solving that problem. Instead, what they're doing is they're taking money away from the public system and they're giving them to private schools with no accountability. So if you want to solve the problem of students dropping out, what you do is you figure out what's causing that problem and you address it. You don't just say, well, we're just going to not address that problem and take more money away from them. And as for the choice aspect of, you know, parents being able to make the right choice for their kids, a lot of problems with voucher programs are their lack of transparency. There isn't a school board. There isn't, you can't do an open records request and find public documents. In the D.C. program, there was a study that showed the information they were giving parents about the school in the private school voucher program were incomplete, inaccurate, and wrong. And so how is a parent going to make a choice that's best for their student when they're not even given the information? So I have trouble with the notion that they're able to make a better choice with a private school they know nothing about.
As we wrap up here, what's ahead for school choice in our country, and what's your take? What's your analysis?
So I think around the states last year and this year, there's tons of private school voucher legislation. I think we're going to be continuing to fight it. On a positive note about Betsy DeVos is I think she's actually brought a lot of attention to the problems with private school vouchers. I think her being at the forefront has actually shown what it can do to a community in a bad way to have a private school voucher program. And so if nothing else, it's raised awareness.
Well, Maggie, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Maggie Garrett, Legislative Director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Earlier, we spoke with Jim Bender, president of the advocacy group School Choice Wisconsin. This hour, The Morning Show was produced by Brianne Shasso, Keely Baltina, and Naeja Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation on school choice is on the Ideas Network.